Hello, my fellow peace educators. This is the final podcast of the online peace education course. And as always, I'll share three takeaways from this past week's final forum, a lot of great contributions, and then talk a little bit about what we're going to do in this final week of the class. So what are my three takeaways from the forum? First came as a quote from Tina Jones, and I'll read the full quote here. Tina said, quote, "I always try to be with peace in my everyday life, especially at work. Being that I am a health and PE teacher, I have to lead by example, working out on my own and with the kids, eating healthy and trying to live and demonstrate a stress-free life. It is just hard for the kids once they leave me and all they see is the bad things to eat and do. All I can try and do is give them the tools to resist temptation and be strong in their choices," end quote. And I wanted to touch on this because I think another way to look at this, or what you're saying, Tina, is to actually work with your students in creating new temptations. So as opposed to resisting current temptations, creating new temptations. And I think that you've mentioned this in previous conversations and in previous postings, that you get a lot out of the healthy habits that you've developed. You get so much out of them, in fact, that you might actually consider them temptations. In other words, you are drawn to them and they call to you. So I think that's another way to think about this challenge going into this year, Tina, is yes, helping students resist temptations that surround them on a daily and constant basis, but also think about creating new temptations, creating new healthy habits so that they are drawn to them and not necessarily always thinking as something in a negative way. Something else that you wrote, Tina, which I think was really powerful, was the following, quote, "As I think of this coming school year and how excited I am for it to get started, I am also scared of what is to come. Peace is and would be a marvelous thing to conquer in school, much less the world, but it is bigger than us, the teachers. Yes, it is true, it has to start somewhere, but it has to be with the whole peace movement. I want people to see that it is a true war outside for our kids, and we are losing it, day in, day out. Where we reach one, three will fail. I need them to listen to us, the ones on the front lines of this war, and let us do what we love to do, teach." This is really powerful and hopefully something that I think we've all been thinking about throughout the course. And this isn't necessarily advice, but it's one way that I grapple with this issue. And it's kind of putting things in perspective. And as educators, realizing where we can make the greatest impact given the context in which we work, our capacity as individuals to make a difference. And what I always think about is whether I'm in a classroom or in a workshop or what have you, and that, you know, teachers that I work with, whatever situations they're working in, you know, they have a group of students for a set period of time. They have a group of learners for a set period of time. And that's when they can have the most influence and they can put their craft to the best use towards achieving peace is in that set period of time. Whether it's, again, a one-off workshop or an entire school year, if you meet with these students for 50 minutes every day or an hour and a half every other day, that is the moment where you interact with those students. And so the moment those students and the moment those learners walk into that environment that you are creating for them or co-creating with them, and you have that for an hour and a half, you have the power to make that time and make that space a peaceful learning environment for that particular group of students. So that does mean that there's many hours outside of that block of time, and there's many other spaces outside of that environment, and there are many other students that aren't part of that community that you may not be able to impact. But it can be so overwhelming when we think that way, because that will always be the case. That will always be the case that there are learners and students and people and friends and what have you that we cannot reach all the time in all places. But what we can do is that that moment that we have those learners with us and around us together in community, that's when we have the most power and we need to focus, I believe, our energy and our passion towards those moments. And I think that's a lot of what this course has been about, is how do you best utilize that community that you create with students and that time that you have with that community. And what happens outside of it, much of that is out of our control. You know, learners and students, the kids that we work with, hopefully they gain something of value in that time and space that we spend with them, so that when they are out in the world in other spaces and interacting with other people and facing other situations, what they've gained from the time that they've spent with us and with the community that they've helped create will be a benefit to them in creating a more peaceful world and in creating peaceable learning environments that we may not be a part of. The second takeaway is from Alex and a conversation that he had with Pam. And he said, quote, "Both of us," he and Pam, "agreed that in our ever-changing society, we need to give our students tools like the ones we have learned in this course to become more complete individuals. Because in today's society, there are a lot more demands that come from a variety of different situations that might not have easy solutions. And we need to give our students the tools to respond and deal with those." And this reminded me of this idea of Kingian nonviolence. And I think I've mentioned this in a previous conference call or podcast or video, I'm not entirely sure. But this concept of Kingian nonviolence, the principles and values of nonviolence that Dr. King helped integrate into the civil rights movement, you know, known as, quote, Kingian nonviolence. And one of the ideas, and this isn't just King, but I think broader idea of nonviolence, is how do we live a full life? And how do we think of building community, creating community, particularly learning communities, where we allow people to live fully? And I think that is, well, I don't think, I know that's what I heard in this quote from Alex. It may not be what you have intended, Alex, but this is what I heard, is that a lot of what we've been doing in this class is allowing, finding ways to allow ourselves and to allow our students that we work with to live more fully. And that's a big, broad idea, but I think it's something that can also be grounding. When you're realizing, why am I doing this? Why am I integrating this? Why is this something that I want to be part of my class? And what am I going to be looking for in my students when I start integrating it? Am I seeing in my students their ability to live more fully, to live their full selves? And that's different for everybody. That doesn't mean everybody lives fully exactly the same way. But you can see that in a student's eyes. You can see that in yourself. You can see that in your body language, in the way that you relate to people. Am I living more fully? And I think, Pam, you touched on this when you talked about how you experienced or experimented with some of the meditations in Thich Nhat Hanh's book, Pieces Every Step, when you're in the grocery store or when you're walking down the street and you were talking to people and they were responding to you in a certain way, and then someone complimented you in your rose garden and that made you feel good. There's a sense in those interactions of living more fully, experiencing our full selves. So I think that's another thing to walk away from this week, but I think in the course overall too, is that concept of having everyone be able to live their lives more fully. And then the last thing is a quote that a couple of you wrote down as being one that resonated with you. And it was also from Thich Nhat Hanh. And it's a short quote, and it was, quote, "We are good at preparing to live, but not good at living. We are good at preparing to live, but not good at living," end quote. I know Marianne shared this quote. I know Meow shared this quote as well. And I think instead of talking a little bit about why I think this is an important quote, I think it's a good lead-in quote for the final week of the course. And this last exercise of each one of us writing down and thinking about and creating a peace learner commitment. Because for the last 6 weeks, and now a total 7 weeks, We've been experimenting with different things. We've been trying new things. We've been reading lots of readings, watching lots of videos, chatting about all those things with a learning partner, and then thinking about whether or not we want to integrate some of these concepts into our personal life or into our professional lives as teachers. So a lot of this has been in experimentation and preparation. But the fall semester is right around the corner. And so now we've just got to jump in and we've just got to start swimming. You know, we've put in all the chemicals and all the chlorine in the pool and we've cleaned it up and all that kind of stuff. Now it's we're ready to jump into that pool. And that's what the Peace Learner Commitment is all about. That's what this entire week now is about, is going back and reflecting on this entire experience and picking or making a commitment to one idea, rather, about integrating one or some of these concepts into your personal and professional life. And a key part of developing this Peace Learner Commitment is ensuring that this commitment is SMART. And that's an acronym, S-M-A-R-T. Some of you may be familiar with this. It's a common kind of planning acronym to use. S stands for specific, M stands for measurable, A stands for achievable, R stands for realistic, and T stands for time-bound. So it's a very great way to just think about something you want to do and develop it into a clear, concrete goal that is actually something that could come to fruition. And I've done this in past peace education classes as well. And I think it's important because it's one thing to be excited about these new ideas and concepts and what have you when you're in the midst of a course that is designed to get you excited about these things. But once the course is over, what's going to keep you motivated? And that has to be you. And that motivation has to be something that is clearly stated by you and shared, I think, with our community. I think you need to vocalize that commitment and have it recorded so that the rest of us who've been part of this community can hold you accountable to that, and you can hold yourself accountable to that. So reading below, you'll see exactly the process, what the process is of creating this Peace Learner Commitment. And it requires a lot of work. It requires going back and reading what you have written. Because even though this has only been 6-7 weeks, it's amazing how quickly we forget. So going back and reading all your responses to the reflection questions, going back and reading all of your responses to the end-of-week forums, watching some of the videos that I posted, videos or podcasts, to hear what I felt were some of the takeaways that were that encompass a lot of things that you all were sharing throughout that particular week. So it's a review, but it's a review with a purpose to create this commitment. A specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound commitment. And then when we meet for our final all-class conference call, which I hope every single one of you can make it, that's when we're going to share that Peace Learner Commitment. And we're going to hear every single person's voice sharing with us what that commitment is. And that can be very powerful. And that will be recorded. And that will be something that I'm going to ask you all to go back to at the beginning of the semester, during the holiday season, into the spring semester, to keep yourself rooted in what you've taken away from this course. And to find ways to keep you honest to those roots. So I think this will be a very powerful week. And I truly look forward to hearing all of your voices on the all-class conference call. And I will send out an email with the details, the time, number, and so forth with that. So have a great week, and I'll talk to you all soon.